You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tried in vain to persuade US President Donald Trump to change his mind about pulling US forces out of Syria, a decision he announced on Wednesday. There was tremendous disappointment in Jerusalem over the pullout, which is regarded as a victory for Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. The US presence in Syria was the only bargaining chip in Israel's efforts to persuade Russia to prevent Iran deepening its entrenchment in Syria. US Defense Secretary James Mattis has cancelled his trip to Israel planned for this week after submitting his resignation in the wake of President Trump's decision. Israel destroyed the fourth Hezbollah tunnel dug from Lebanon into Israel on Thursday night. In video footage of the operation near the Israeli community of Zarit along the Lebanese border, IDF officer speaks into a megaphone and urges residents of the Lebanese town of Ramya on the other side of the border to clear the area for their own safety. The military launched Operation Northern Shield to find and destroy attack tunnels that Hezbollah dug into Israeli territory from villages in southern Lebanon on December 4th. The UN peacekeeping force UNIFIL confirmed on Monday that at least two of the tunnels crossed into Israel and were therefore a violation of the UN resolution that ended the 2006 Second Lebanon War, but did not confirm Israel's allegations that they were dug by Hezbollah. UN peacekeepers have stepped up patrols since the launch of the operation to ensure the frontier remains calm. Despite quieter than in the past demonstrations, four Palestinians, including 16-year-old Mohammed Al-Juju, were killed on Friday by Israeli fire during border protests and clashes as some 8,000 Palestinians engaged in protests along the Gaza border. Two others, fatally shot, were named as Abdelaziz Abu Sharia, 28, and Nahir Yassin, 40, who died from their wounds after being shot in separate incidents along the heavily fortified frontier with Israel. 46 others were wounded. Military police opened an investigation on Friday into the death of Qasem Abbasi, 17, from the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Silwan, who was shot by Israeli troops after a car he was traveling in drove through a roadblock in the West Bank. Another person in the vehicle was wounded in Thursday's incident, which occurred shortly after shots were fired at a bus stop near the Ofra settlement, causing no injuries. A preliminary investigation indicated the driver did not try to run over the soldiers and no weapons were found in the vehicle. A week earlier, Israeli troops shot dead a Palestinian man in the town of Al-Bira. The army said he was trying to run over soldiers. But the family of Hamdan Al-Arda, 58, denied he was trying to ram into the soldiers, and Israeli security experts now say that he does not fit the profile of a terrorist. The army's rules of engagement allow troops to fire at a car only in the case of clear and present danger or definite shooting from the vehicle. Brigadier General Eran Niv said to Israeli television, "We're killing people who didn't intend to kill." The IDF said it was investigating Thursday's shooting near Ofra, which appears to have come from the nearby Palestinian village of En Yabrud. Thursday's incident came after two shooting attacks along Route 60, one at the Ofra junction on December 9th and another at the Givat Asaf junction on December 13th, and amid a general increase in violence in the West Bank. Two soldiers were killed and another was critically injured in the Givat Asaf attack. Several Israelis were injured in the attack at the Ofra junction, including a 7 months pregnant woman whose baby, delivered in an emergency surgery by doctors hours after the attack, died 4 days later. The IDF announced on Thursday that the man suspected of carrying out the terror attack near Givat Asaf is Assem Barghouti, the brother of Salih Barghouti, who carried out the attack near Ofra. Salih was shot dead on December 12th in a village near Ramallah as he attacked security forces in an attempt to evade arrest. Two members of the older generation of the Barghouti family are serving sentences in Israeli jails, and a third was released as part of the Gilad Shalit deal. The tires of 27 cars were slashed and slogans graffitied on a wall on Thursday in the latest in a string of hate crimes targeting Palestinians and Israeli Arabs. The phrases, "death to murderers" and "we will not sleep while God's name is being desecrated," were found spray-painted in Pisgat Ze'ev on a wall bordering the Arab neighborhood of Bet Hanina. A police investigation has been opened into the incident and officers are searching for the perpetrator. The Justice Ministry's Police Internal Investigations Department announced on Friday that Major General Gila Gaziel, the former head of the Israel Police's Human Resources Department, is being investigated for the improper granting of tenders to outside companies for various police events between 2014 and 2015. The PIID investigation has revealed that officers regularly falsified bids by suppliers to favour certain companies over others. Investigators from the Justice Ministry Department suspect that Gaziel, who recently resigned from the police force, not only turned a blind eye to the corruption, but participated in the scam herself. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's attorney, Navot Tel-Tzur, has written a letter to Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit, urging him to denounce leaks to the media from prosecutors of details from criminal investigations against the Prime Minister. Netanyahu's lawyer asked Mandelblit to clarify that matters regarding the Prime Minister aren't being conducted with a foregone conclusion to indict him at all costs. Mandelblit said his office will work swiftly and efficiently to reach a decision regarding the investigations and that his professionalism is not affected by leaks to the media. Police have recommended indicting Netanyahu for bribery in three separate cases, but it is up to the Attorney General to decide if prosecutions will proceed. The British military used an Israeli anti-drone system to down an unmanned aerial vehicle that shattered at the airfield at London's Gatwick Airport for over 36 hours, stranding tens of thousands of passengers. Flights resumed on Friday at Gatwick, the UK's second busiest airport, while police were hunting for the drone operator or operators, and Transport Secretary Chris Grayling said the military capabilities were being deployed to safeguard the airport. Six of the drone dome systems, which were developed by an Israeli defence firm Rafael, were sold to the UK Ministry of Defence in August in an estimated $20 million deal. The perpetrators have been caught. SodaStream, the Israeli maker of carbonated drinks that was acquired earlier this year by PepsiCo Incorporated for $3.2 billion, is setting up a manufacturing plant in the Gaza Strip. SodaStream CEO Daniel Birenbaum told the Globe's business conference on Thursday that the company, which already has a mixed workforce of Jews and Arabs, is looking to expand. Birenbaum said, "We want the people of Gaza to have jobs, real jobs, because where there is prosperity, there can be peace." Birenbaum has made it a point of pride that the operation he runs is evidence that coexistence and cooperation are indeed possible, and that other companies should implement SodaStream's model of respect and cooperation so as to foster economic peace between Israel and the Palestinians. News in brief, the Jewish agency has appointed its first woman CEO. Amira Aronovich, 47, will replace Ellen Hoffman. Hundreds demonstrated in Tel Aviv last night against rising food prices. Nazareth and Bethlehem are preparing for a busy and peaceful celebration of Christmas. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.